Okay, for second session, we want to discuss, have you ever heard the expression, being on the same page? Yeah. Everybody's heard that? You ever thought much about it? It means to think in a similar way. There's a few similar expressions, being in the same league, being in the same ballpark, singing from the same song sheet, or preaching to the choir. These are all expressions about thinking similarly. And the Bible has a lot to say about being like-minded. You know, churches have doctrinal statements or statements of faith that we unite around because it's important to have unity in the body of Christ. It's important to have unity, but unity is not uniformity. We all don't look the same. Being on the same page doesn't mean we all read the same speed. You know, there's differences. So to be on the same page, we don't have to have uniformity. We don't all look the same or do everything the same. But let me give you a few passages just to show and to remind us what the Bible says about us being on the same page. Philippians 2:2, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord. That does not mean a big Honda. Okay, in full accord, we're together. And of one mind. Very important. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind. Sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you. That you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. Colossians 3:12-15. Put on, then, he's telling you, things that you should put on. Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, put on love. And what does love do? He tells us, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Unity. Romans 15:5-6. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord, there's the Honda again, with Christ Jesus, that together you may be with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Philippians 1:27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, or your citizenship, as Matt will show us later on, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. In Psalms, I wanted to balance this out with showing unity from the Old Testament. Psalm, I love this Psalm. Psalm 133:1. Well, actually, all three verses. There's three verses. It's a song of ascent, one that they would sing as they're going toward worship. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. But the next few statements is really amazing. I love what Matthew Henry said on this first verse. He said, here see I what it is that is commended, brothers dwelling together in unity, not only not quarreling and devouring one another, but delighting in each other with mutual endearments and promoting each other's welfare with mutual service. So this is how beautiful, how good it is, and how pleasant when brothers dwell together in unity. Not that we're not fighting, but we're unified around something. And then the next two verses in this psalm says what it's like. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So what he says, beauty, the beauty of unity in the body of Christ is like this. When they would put the oil on Aaron's head, they would put so much of it that it would actually just, it would cover the entire body. It would work its way down. So he said that's what unity is like. When you have unity, it covers the whole body. It has a unifying effect. And listen to what Albert Barnes says about these three verses in Psalm 133. Thus love in the Christian community is so abundant, so overflowing, that it spreads over all the spiritual body, the church. The same sweet and holy influence represented by the oil of anointing pervades all and combines all in one. So the Bible has a whole lot to say. Even we can look in Acts. Just it talks about the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And they had everything common. Ephesians 4:3, he's talking about those that are saved, that they're eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And he says, there's one body. The body imagery, he says, for as in one body we have many members. We're one body in Christ. So we as a local body of the living Christ should dwell as one, having one heart, one soul, and one interest. Romans 12:15-16, this is the last verses I want to look at. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. So, does that mean that if Rodney's rejoicing and I'm not, what am I supposed to do? I am supposed to look on his interest. To rejoice with him, or if someone is sad, so that we would have this like-mindedness. Now, why am I saying this? I say all that to ask a question. How can we foster like-mindedness among the body? And one of the ways that we can do this, what is the one event that we are all in this room together for?
Worship.
What is one of the biggest components of our worship that we all gather around? And it's the preaching of the gospel, preaching of the word. We worship God. And one of the ways we worship God is by seeing what's in the word, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, we apply that to our life and we live that out. That is an act of worship to God. Obedience to his word. So, I was noticing last week, I've been disconnected from the Philippians sermons. I would come in here and I the content was great. It would minister to me, but there's a difference. When you're studying in a particular place, And you're in there yourself, and it just becomes alive to you. You just see, it becomes a part of your life. That was not where I was at. You know, I began to pray over it, and I began to think about it. And I had not been following along in the Philippians, reading, meditating on it, having my family in it. So I prayed about that, and I talked to Matt about that, and I changed that this week. And Philippians has just come alive to me. So I wanted to give some practical ways that we can be literally on the same page. If we're going to talk about a book, you know, if the ladies get together and discuss their book and Prentice is on page 12 and Lori's on page 32, they're not going to be able to really understand what the other one's talking about. So some things that I want to suggest is to be literally on the same page that we could read or listen to the preceding and proceeding verses that will be preached on during the week. That is one way that you can be connected to the material that is being preached. And as a body, we could be together. You could read or listen to the verses that was preached on last week, the verses that's coming up now, and even look beyond those verses to make sure you understand the context. That's one way. I'm going to give you several different ways that I have thought about, and then I want to open up for discussion and see, you know, if anybody else has any ideas and things that they could do. So, number one is read or listen to the verses. B, read or listen to the entire chapter being preached through every day until we start a new chapter. By the time we get to the new chapter, you will know what's in that previous chapter. So, while we're in chapter one, you could make it a goal to every single day read chapter 1 until we get to chapter 2. And then by the time we get to chapter 2, you'll know what's in chapter 1. So that's another suggestion. Letter C, study it in family worship. Husbands and wives discussing and breaking it down for their children. You know, some have said, I've heard some say before, you know, the children sometimes aren't getting it. But it's not Matt's responsibility to break it down like that. He can do his best to break it down and make it as clear as possible. But it's our responsibilities in our own homes to make sure that our wives are getting it and that our children understand it. So that's one way you can do it. That does not mean that that's the only thing that you have to do. And this is not something that you have to do. It's just some ideas on how you can be connected. And, you know, I've noticed a difference in just this week, making sure and you don't have to do that. The only thing, we're working on an Old Testament survey, looking through the different stages of the Old Testament. But even last night in our family worship, we looked at Philippians, what was preached on last week and how it connects to this week and what is in that text so that my family could be prepared for what they're going to hear. So you could study it in family worship, husbands and wives discussing and breaking it down to the children. Letter D. You could write the whole chapter or the section being worked through in your own handwriting, and you can even write out your own commentary to it. I learn more when I'm writing a sermon. I do. That's a shame because I should be doing that more often. I should be writing it out for myself and thinking through what those verses mean in their context. Letter E, try to memorize or meditate on sections or all of Philippians, a section at a time. Something that I thought about, I don't even remember why, I met Chandler at his job and drove his van home. I don't even remember what was going on at that time. But I was driving up the road and something caught my eye up here on his visor. And he had a section of scripture written out on an index card. You know, no doubt it was for pulling out and looking at and for memorization. And that stood out to me. You can do things like that. You can try. You know what the word meditation actually means? It means to murmur or to mumble to yourself. That you're constantly, it's on, your word is on my lips. The meditation of my heart will come out in on my lips. So as you think about the scriptures, you're in the passage that was preached on. You can do it so many different ways. You could focus on what was preached last week, you know, when this past week or this coming up week. You could look at what Matt talked about today and then tying it back to the previous and then looking ahead. There's so many ways of being connected to where we are in Philippians. Letter F, you could print out sections. This is how I do when I'm studying to preach or to teach. I will actually print out in big print, big sections between the verses, what I will be looking at. I print it out and I draw correlations. If they're similar words, I will draw circles around them and I'll draw lines to each other. Or I will put a box around all the verbs, anything that is an action. There's so many different ways to be in the text and be experiencing that text so that you won't be disconnected when we're here. It will also, you can make it a point to discuss what you're learning with others in the fellowship. If we're all in Philippians in 15 through 18 and we meet this week, we should have something to talk about. Now, you might be in a different place in your life and you're studying on this. I mean, right now, we're doing an Old Testament survey at home. Matt and I are working through an eldership book, trying to lay out a leadership, how to train leaders and looking for the future and looking through the congregation about, you know, future leaders. And we're trying to think through so many things. But we still have time to be in Philippians. So you can multitask. But you can make it a point to try to discuss this. If I meet Brody through the week or I talk to him on the phone, you know, sharing with him what I've seen in the scriptures this week. I never noticed how it connected. You know, I had never noticed even this week whenever I was looking back how that this week connected with last week. That the advance, what had happened to Paul was for the advancement of the gospel in two ways. It was advancing the gospel by evangelism to sinners. The guards were hearing about it, and others were hearing about it. But it also was to embolden the saints. It made, and we found out today, and the connection there is he went into how it emboldened the saints. There was two ways that it emboldened the saints. One was a good motive, one was a bad motive. But I'd never noticed the connection between the two until I meditated on it this week. So if we got together this week, I'd say, and I even shared with Matt, I never had seen this before. And as we talked through the week, that could be helpful. So you can make it a point to discuss with others in the fellowship. Letter H, when you're reading the same thing as will be preached on Sunday, it can serve as a reminder to pray for your preacher and for all the listeners. When you're connecting with what was heard last week and what we're hearing today and what's coming up, I need to remember Matt in prayer and also everyone that's going to hear. So it makes me, and we're in the same area talking about the same things. If we were praying for the body in the sermon from last week, we would want to say, hey, you know, what has happened to us should be for the furtherance of the gospel in those two areas, through evangelism of sinners and the emboldening of saints. So everything that I pray for Brody this week or Chandler or whoever should be that whatever circumstances come up in their life, God, use that. May they see that that's for the advancement of the gospel in those two areas of their life. So it can be a point of reference to remember to pray. And then letter I, it can serve as a reminder to thank God for the faithful preaching that you hear and for the people who support and listen and try their best by the help of the Holy Spirit to live it out. So it's not only a reminder to pray for Matt or whoever's standing in the pulpit this week, but to remember the listeners, but also to be thankful for it. Thank you, God. Is Matt perfect? No. Now we can name anybody that's going to stand and proclaim the Word of God. Are they perfect? We get our motives mixed up sometimes, like these people. But I'm thankful, and I rejoice in that, and that should cause that. So it should serve as that reminder to be thankful. You could also listen to the sermons online. Or you could listen to other sermons on the same passage. And the last thing that I want to say, to help to stay connected, one of the greatest things during the preaching time, and I try to teach my family this and model it myself, is to always make eye contact with the one speaking. And we should train our children that. Obviously, there's things that happen. There's ladies with children and men with children that, you know, things just happen. But if you can keep your attention focused on the person speaking, it'll be a lot less likely for you to be distracted. So these are things that I have thought about this week. And Lori helped me with a lot of these. She was just throwing them out there. I was like, that's great. That'll be helpful to me. So I want to open up the floor for discussion. Has anybody else had problems being disconnected? It don't even have to be with Philippians or the Philippian sermons. Feeling disconnected from the body. We see the importance of being like-minded and being on the same page. And maybe you have some other ideas.
We discussed this earlier, but making the sermons downloadable as opposed to just the live streaming would help my family and some others who they don't have the internet access all the time. And then in addition, just looking forward to the connection groups, I know that other churches in this same pursuit of unity would have, after the preaching of the sermon, somewhat of a study guide for the small group meetings, in order that not only would they review what was preached, look for and how to apply that, but look forward to the next week. And that might be something that could again help to unify the five or six different groups meeting.
Yeah, I think that's very good. And that's things that, you know, even Matt has mentioned doing. And all the connection group stuff that you heard that Matt presented, he did while he was a full-time pastor. And right now, time is an issue. It's hard. It's hard to think through all these things. And, you know, he's doing that a lot. We're doing that together, thinking through. But I think that's a great idea, but the logistics of making that happen. I mean, even when you was at Ebenezer, he'd give family worship guides to where that week, this is a track you can run on. They were very helpful. So there's things like that I think would be helpful. And, you know, getting there is the hard part.
I like what you brought up. If you miss, especially, I think it's very important that you, to be on the same page, that you do listen to the sermon so that you're caught up with what we've already discussed in Philippians. It's hard to understand how it all ties together because many of the sermons will refer back to things that have already, and the temptation for me at preaching is, well, I'm going to have to explain all that again. Well, you really can't explain all that again all the time. So making sure that you understand the entire flow of the book and how this fits in the flow of the book, you'll be aided tremendously just to make sure you don't have any gaps in the sermons you've heard. So I really encourage you. That's why we put them on there. That's the biggest reason. We want to reach people that aren't here, but the biggest reason is to make sure that all of us are able to be on the same page.
Yeah. And we'll try. We'll see what we need to do about getting those downloadable where you can take those with you. We'll see what we can
do.
We actually have a podcast, but Caleb was doing it, and when he left, he said that the way we had it set up, it should automatically go, and it never has, and we don't know why.
We don't know how. But so, we did some investigation, and what we came to the bottom of is Tom Weddle, and that solved it.
So we have someone to blame now. if in the future. Go ahead.
I have to agree with you when you're in what we're studying for the week and feeling more connected. Because right when he first started Philippians, I had just gotten out of the book of Philippians. And I was super, super excited. In fact, even talking to Pastor about things, I think you can probably remember my excitement. And then it kind of dwindled because I'm elsewhere now. So I totally agree with what you're saying. Feeling a little disconnected. Not that I'm disconnected, but not as fiery as I was when I was in the book myself.
Yeah.
So, and this week I have to, say I also agree with Jerry, and I feel you encourage me, Jerry, that, you know, we all, you know, suffer the same things and we can encourage one another to get back where we're lacking. But I felt a little disconnected in the Word this week myself because I wasn't in church last week and just kind of feeling that disconnect, and so I'm so glad to be back. But so I agree, and it is important to catch up, you know, with what's going on that week through the sermons online and what have you.
And that's what we want. These texts that I brought up, these are not texts to prove we should be reading in the same place our preacher's preaching from. That's not, but to prove the point of unity of mind. It's not that we find somebody with a great idea and we unify around that. No, as we're renewed in our minds by being in the Word, we actually have more of the mind of Christ when we're thinking. You know, we use the Word, we think through the lens of what the Bible says. You actually are taking in the mind of Christ. So we unify there, and that we need to be in that same mind. So, but it is important for us to where we're not disconnected, and that we can hold each other accountable. We want to. That's part of our job is to watch and to oversee and to warn. You know, because we want to be connected. We don't want any of us to be lone rangers. We can't, and we're not building monuments to ourselves. And Matt and I, we're not trying to, you know, like. There's no rivalry, that selfish ambition. I think about what Jesus said, you know, when he's telling his disciples right after the two sons' mother comes and said, can our sons have some authority? Can they sit on each side of you? And then Jesus said, you know, the Gentiles, they love to lord their authority over others. He said, but you're not so. He said, you will be characterized by your service. He said the same way. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So we're not trying to build a monument to ourselves, and we're trying to look on the interest of others, and that's what we should be doing as a body, loving one another and watching out for each other.
A couple things that have been helpful to me may not be as helpful for others. I don't know, but there was a couple weeks in a row where I was kind of disconnected from the preaching. And I tried to follow along, but maybe, and it was just in my own mind, whether it be distractions or whatever the case may be. I first had to recognize that I was being disconnected in those couple weeks, and I realized that by God's grace, and I began to ask God to take away some of those distractions. And so I was more intentional when I started, you know, coming to church, and more intentional about following along. That was helpful, first realizing that I was being disconnected. Sometimes we can go a month, 2 months, without even realizing that we're being disconnected, and we're just not taking away from the sermons what we should be taking away. So I realized that, and I began to pray about that. Another thing that was helpful, and this might not be helpful for others because it could cause more distractions or cause your mind to wander from the text that he's preaching on, but cross-referencing other scriptures was helpful for me to take other familiar passages of scripture and see how those complement the scripture, like in Philippians. And when Matt or whoever's preaching cross-references and uses other scriptures, that causes me to be able, it's like a spider web of scripture just complementing scripture, but all focusing on the one text that he's preaching on. That was helpful for me to keep my mind in tune, and while I'm studying it throughout the week, looking at other scriptures and seeing it through the lens of Philippians, or when I'm studying in the mornings, seeing how it relates to the sermon that was preached on Sunday. That was helpful for me to begin to draw more from what's being preached and being on the same page in that sense. So it was helpful for me. I don't know if it'll be helpful for others, because that could cause your mind to wander in other places and cause you to not be on the same page. But for me, it was helpful.
Well, especially when it's done the week prior to. I mean, you think the preacher's the only one who should do prep work on the sermon? I mean, if you know where he's going to be, why would we not be? Because if you take everything you know about that passage, and Matt gives you what he knows about that passage, you know more than he knows. Unless he holds back some. You know, he might do that. But it's our responsibility. We should be digging and even cross-referencing, finding out. And by the time we get through Philippians, we should all know Philippians well. If we're on the same page. And if we're working together and we're unified around it.
A couple of things that I think kind of intertwine even praying through the book of Philippians. I think just some of the key texts I've been blessed to have meditated on throughout the years, because I know Matt has preached through some of these before, and just have really impacted me. And they as soon as I waver or I mishandle something, there's texts that just convict me and bring me to repentance. And so thinking about that and meditating in prayer through that, the active listening. I remember Albert Bowler talking in a conference that just being engaged actively, and that can be even physically, like my posture. You mentioned the eye contact. Thinking about, as a speaker up there, if everyone's head is bowed, how hard that would be for the speaker to be engaged and to recognize that he's being effective. And so thinking about that,
maybe it'll come back to you. Anyone else, while Portia's thinking about it, trying to remember? Well, we thank God for for our time together in worship. Thank you for the ones that helped lead us. Chandler opening up. And as you even think through the structure of the service, think through the week. Pray for the one opening up. Pray for the one doing the psalm. Pray for Hank and Preston, and the ones that, prepare the songs and the scriptures that go with the songs, and the one that will be preaching, and all the listeners. So we thank God for, our people that's helped us today.
Two things real quick.
Okay.
Are we done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't want to interrupt you, but I felt like you were shutting it down, and I wanted to get a couple of things in right before we ended. One thing I wanted to correct for everybody, when I preach a sermon,